All right, and welcome back to the Modern Drunkard podcast. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been, it's been embarrassingly long, I think, but, you know.
Well, we wrapped up the magazine.
Yeah, we put out a couple issues of the magazine. Right.
No, so. just one.
Just one?
Yeah.
No, that was two.
Could be two.
Okay.
We'll say two.
We drink, you know.
Sounds better.
Yeah.
And we got really busy with that, and we just, of course, didn't have time. And now we're finally back at Cherry Sound Studios, so the quality is going to be better this time than our
You'll be able to hear us.
Because before we had kind of a home rig in my tiki bar.
And we're less likely to destroy the podcast by spilling beer on the console, since the console's in a whole other room.
That
did happen once.
That's right.
We destroyed our laptop.
Yeah.
And our special guest today is Adam Pittman. He's going to give us the insights on... he's part of the hacking community and such, and he goes to all the hacker conferences in Las Vegas. He's going to give us some insights on the drinking inside the... can we call them nerds, or what do they call them, hackers these days? Is that considered...
They're probably just IT professionals now.
IT professionals.
Ah, professionals.
Y'all grew up and got jobs, huh?
Information security.
Okay, information security. We'll get into that, and also we're going to discuss a lot about the new technology of alcohol. In the next issue of the magazine, we're going to be discussing the future of alcohol and all the new machines that are coming in, the robot bartenders, robot everything. You have these beer makers you put on your kitchen counter, and it makes you beer. It's really amazing what's going on.
Tell me more about your problems.
Yeah. Okay. Well, before we start off, though, first things first, we're going to do a little review and test betting here. We have this hangover defense stuff called NoHo. They sent us a case of the stuff. I've been trying it in the months previous, and it could be the placebo effect, but I seem to be, having some sort of benefit.
I'm skeptical, but I'll give it a try.
Yeah, this stuff you drink before you start drinking.
Well, at least it's not like six pills that you take while you're drinking, and then another six pills before, and
seven pills afterwards. No,
yeah, there's a lot of those pill ones. But it's something that's really expanded the market for these hangover medicines. There's just so many now, you can't keep track of them anymore. Okay, chin-chin, guys.
Well,
not terrible.
I don't know. Terrible, it's a little salty.
Can't even get mine open.
So we won't be able to tell you how effective this is until the next podcast. But we'll I'll be in touch with you, Adam, and see what you.
All right.
And they also put out the same company puts out another product called NoHo Gold, and it's like a ginger ale style drink that you mix with your cocktails, with your vodka or whiskey, whatever. And it gives you a protective effect as you're drinking. We'll be trying that later on, too.
Ugh. It is kind of...
Well, it's a sodium. You're going to lose some salts when you're...
Yeah, but all... just like any of those energy things, they're all have a sort of a... Not a great taste.
Not a great taste.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay. Let's get on to a review. We're going to be reviewing Newcastle Scotch Ale Caledonian, which they sent to us. You want to pop that up?
You got it.
We'll review anything you send to us, as long as it's alcoholic. Beer, wine, liquor.
Liquor.
You can get our address off the website.
Yes, please do send us stuff. We do like free booze.
Not
as good as stolen booze, but free booze does taste better.
You know, it was something I noticed. A lot of the stuff that we used to get goes to the old office, which where Luke lives now.
Okay.
And he used to be bringing it over to me, and now he vanishes to the black hole of...
I wonder what's going on with that. Got purely coincidence.
Yeah. I'm sure he gets lost.
Chin-chin. Like it. It's really...
nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's complete.
It's really, really malty. Good hop finish.
Yeah, and it's because they're a big, experienced company. I mean, you try a lot of the craft beers, and I love all the craft beers, but these... But a place like Newcastle is going to have a fully finished product. It's going to be not experimental at all. It's going to be solid.
No, that's really good.
Yeah.
I like it a lot better than, say, the Guinness Blonde that I've had, when they're trying to open new markets in America with craft beers and try to compete with them. And I think this one's competitive. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we'll do the other reviews as we go along here.
All right.
Speaking of craft brews, did you catch that commercial during the Super Bowl? About when Budweiser attacked craft beers.
No, I missed that one.
It's basically it's a counter assault because Budweiser has been losing ground since 1988. They shipped 50 million barrels of beer per year. Now they're down to 16. That's a huge collapse. Some of that's been absorbed by the Bud Light and other products, some of their own products, but most of it, the craft beer industry has been making inroads on them. And this, which I think is great.
Although I've heard that their exports are up a bit.
I wouldn't doubt it. Because they see a lot of Brits drinking it.
Which I found weird. I have a British friend, Richard, and you know, he told me that Newcastle was frat boy beer while drinking a Budweiser, which I found strangely counterculture.
Yeah. When I was over there in the 80s, Budweiser were considered like a ladies' drink. Something soft and light you'd have during lunch or something. And it was stronger over there, which is kind of strange. Okay. Adam, our guest, has picked as the cocktail of the session the Montellus.
He's doing Caucasian, so.
Caucasian, that's right. It's you got that from...
just watching the Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Yeah,
watched that last night. So we're going to the Caucasus tonight.
Right. White Russians. Okay. You want to mix them up, Adam? Do you have a particular style or recipe?
I put some ice in there, and then I put some vodka in there, and then I put some cool in there, and then some milk.
That's crazy.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a... Like, so you're kind of like hacking the recipe. Yeah. There's a rice bread over here.
I do whatever I want. Nobody tells me.
We can reuse these glasses or.
Let's
use the plastic cups.
Okay, yeah, we'll tell like right off frat party.
The ubiquitous red cup.
Right?
Yes.
Too much ice in here. Wow. You know, they sell. Glass cups, good thick quality glass cups that look exactly like those red cups.
That's a terrible idea.
Well, it's like, you know, if you graduate out of college and stuff, but you kind of miss it, but you want something more higher quality.
Yeah, I don't see that.
I totally kind of see it, you know?
And then, you know, the 1003 count, if that's all right with you guys.
That's it? That's all we're getting? Wow.
Glad you're my bartender.
You want to fill in the silence with some idle chatter?
No, I don't know. Maybe news or something? Maybe not. yeah, okay, we can talk about some news. There's the way this article starts is pedestrians in Spain could soon be breathalyzed and made to obey speed limits and proposals by officials hoping to make the country's streets safer. So basically, there's yet another nanny state kind of thing where you're walking down the street and you stumble a bit and they're going to make you have a breathalyzer test and take you to jail or give you a DUI basically for walking at this point in Spain.
Wow.
I personally don't think it's going to pass because, you know, Spain is known as a pretty pro-drinking place, and I can't see them actually.
Oops. Yeah, what kind of government is in there, though? It's a socialist government, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
They like passing that kind of stuff. They like, government control of everything, every aspect of your life. Just like in a similar story in France, this was before all the attacks on the cartoonist office, but they had already put in there, it goes to vote this spring. They're gonna. France is gonna make it illegal to in any way try to encourage somebody to drink to the stage of drunkenness. So in other words, if you wear a T-shirt that says "Let's get drunk" or a magazine like Modern Drunkard, every page is that's all we say.
You can say banned in France.
We're gonna be banned in France. If this passes, Modern Drunkard will be banned in France. You can't have a poster, you know, that encourages drinking. It's this.
So order all your Modern Drunkard stuff now before it's illegal.
If you live in France.
Yeah, if you live in France.
Well, our friend subscribers, actually, I'll put it in a rapper from the Acme Gizmo company.
You know, a porno rapper, basically. Yeah. Yeah, for your porno mags.
All right.
I mean, that dates me a bit since...
We'll say the Anti-Saloon League Monthly or something. That'll get through. All right, White Russians.
That is good. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
I don't know if it is.
Cheers.
We'll see.
Nice.
All right, so... See, do you got anything else, Frank? You're talking about Paris.
Yeah, Paris is that. Well, it's kind of weird because you know they have the whole standing up strong against the cartoon stuff, but then with one hand, on the other hand, they're taking all your freedoms away as far as drinking and I mean publishing stuff about drinking. You can even be arrested and fined for encouraging, say, your friend to drink more. Say, hey man, let's go do some shots and get drunk. That will be illegal. Isn't that amazing?
It's an outrage.
It's a total outrage.
But, you know, quite often legislation like what we're both talking about pops up, and it rarely does pass.
This apparently has some strong backing.
Really?
Although, you know what, though? The attacks on Charlie Hebdo might change this. It might actually have a chilling effect on all this kind of nanny state bullshit, at least for a while. What do you think about that, Adam?
Sure. I'm looking at the mess I've
Yeah, don't worry about that.
He spilled a little bit on the table. That's why we're in a sound studio, Cherry Sound Studios, so that we won't destroy our podcast.
Right. Yeah, if we're not spilling drinks, it's not.
And we're just starting at this point. It could get way worse, you know. So, well, we aren't near the equipment, so it's fine. We just have a table and a microphone. And
yeah.
As long as we don't spill up into the microphone, I think we'll be fine. Right, guys? Yes? Okay, great.
I wouldn't put it past us.
It's nothing like sour milk, you know.
Okay, well, let's move on to some other news here. In Colorado, where we're based out of, one of our great legislators just sponsored, and this passed the House, it's going to the Senate now, bill banning powdered alcohol, which is ridiculous in Colorado, because in Colorado you can walk down to a store, if you're 21, you can buy candy that will get you as high as mushrooms.
Well, they are trying to ban that as well.
Well, they're trying to lower the
there were a couple bills trying to get rid of it because that's like, they're afraid that the pass. Kids are going to eat the candy.
Well, I think what's going to pass is that they're going to lower down the potency of it. We're going backwards in one direction, we're going forward in another. It's totally ridiculous.
I agree.
And of course, they banned it because they don't understand what it is.
Well, and they have a fear that you can sneak it into sporting events, which I sneak booze into sporting events all the time, so I don't see the problem with that.
Exactly. It's just the hardest, you know, because it's a lot of powder to turn into a cocktail.
So you can
sip it, those little airplane bottles in your pocket just as easily.
So you could snort it?
Yeah, you have to snort a whole handful of stuff to get the effect of a beer. Now, who the hell is going to do that?
Yeah, it's atomized alcohol, and then they essentially spray it with something. It's usually cornstarch or something like that, or at least it was when the Japanese were doing it a few years ago. I tried to get some, actually it was probably 10 years ago, powdered alcohol from this company in Japan, and I wrote them on company letterhead. I did a few things trying to get some of it, and I never was able to get a packet of it. But anyhow, it's not a small amount of powder. You've got a 1 ounce shot, you're probably going to have 2 ounces worth of powder, which is a hell of a lot more volume than liquid. So it's not easy to sneak anywhere, and you certainly can't snort the stuff.
But it's definitely lighter, so it would be good for camping.
Yeah, exactly. Go camping.
You don't have to bring a bottle.
You can hike up into the mountains. The bottle's not going to break. And, right. You know, and you can have a margarita when you hit the end of the trail.
Additive food, 10. Whatever.
Question is, how does it taste? You know,
I've been trying to get an interview with the guy who created it. It's called Palcohol, is the company. I think they're down in Arizona or somewhere. But he claims it tastes great.
Well, of course it does. That was doing this beforehand, and I think I still have a bookmark on an ancient computer. But they did have wine and then several spirits. But they did recommend. They said that it would be okay mixed as a beverage, but it was more for cooking.
Yeah, and let's clear this up. I mean, a lot of people think it's you mix water with this stuff and there's a chemical reaction that turns into alcohol, but that's not the case, is it?
No, no. No, it's actually droplets of alcohol that are coated with something.
They're encased, in powder.
It's almost like little tiny little microbeads like your wife or girlfriend has in their facial scrub.
Or like that ice cream.
Right. And you add water to it, the water breaks down
right,
the outer
water breaks down the shell. And then you've got the alcohol.
Yeah, so it's not something bizarre chemical reaction that everybody's all scared about.
Little tiny packets of alcohol.
We'll have to try some.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to try and get a hold of that guy and see if he'll send us some. He's kind of cagey right now. I think he's afraid. Maybe it doesn't taste as great as he thinks it does. And he doesn't want the word getting out that it tastes like crap.
Honestly,
I don't even care how it tastes. It's just kind of a novelty thing.
And if you're at the end of the trail, man, it's better than nothing,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah,
you know, I used to take a bottle of wine and steaks when I'd go out, you know, camping. And,
a lot of weight.
It's a pain. Well, it's for the first night, you know, but yeah, it's a pain in the ass to.
Well, then you got to hike out the glass as well,
right?
So,
Okay.
Hike out the glass.
Right. I just put a message in the bottle.
I want to make a
leave something for future archaeologists.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because if people didn't litter in the past, we wouldn't have any archaeology today, would we?
Exactly.
And what's most interesting is it's the garbage piles.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be our landfills.
or actually, it's old toilets. I was just in Philadelphia. I got to see Ben Franklin's privy when I was in Philadelphia.
That makes sense because if you're on the toilet and something falls out of your pocket into the toilet, you're not going to reach down there and get it.
People would also throw things they didn't want seen.
When I was working as an archaeologist, we actually had 50 gallons of crap that we had gotten from a mine. They had just put it over a mine, and it had frozen and been there since the 1860s. And in there was a .45, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Wow.
So, I mean, and we had two things. Did the guy hide it there? Probably not. My guess is that he was standing up and it fell out of his holster and went, oh, man.
Not where you went to go get that.
Yeah. Those guys are drunk all the time. They're always probably losing crap everywhere. Modded Drunkard is about to expand. You know, we have to update the site whenever we, you know, get an issue out, which means not very often. But we got a new system now. We're going to have this. It's called BrutalHammer.com, which is going to be our sort of sister news site that's updated hourly, daily. You know, it's going to have all the booze news with our commentary on it. It's going to have links, of course, to drinking articles. And
named after your horrible drink.
Yes, the Brutal Hammer, which is
kind of drawn from Hunter S. Thompson's writing, yeah. the million-pound shit hammer.
Well, you used to drink that when you were in the Rangers, right?
Yeah, it was our platoon drink in the Rangers, the Brutal Hammer, which is half vodka, half burgundy or red wine, and a couple ice cubes thrown in there out of cynicism. And it's an awful drink. It tastes terrible.
I've had it before.
If you're drunk, it seems all right.
Yeah, I remember around 4 o'clock in the morning at Hog Butler, and that's all we had left was vodka and wine. And it wasn't too bad at 4 o'clock in the morning when I was
drunk. Oh, no. When you're drunk, it's totally fine. It's like it's a really strong
wine.
The
next day was not.
Yeah, I'll leave moths when I'm drunk, though. So.
Yeah. But you go to BrutalHammer.com or BrutalHammer.Drunkard.com, and you're going to find a site that has up-to-the-date booze news about everything. And of course, there's already sites doing that, of course, but we're going to be very different in that we're going to be the most pro-alcohol site on the web as far as that goes.
Yeah, most of the ones I go to when I'm doing some research for the podcast,
they're cowering and
they're all like, you know, things are horrible, and you're all going to die.
Well, even the ones that, the industry ones that are supposed to be, you know, sort of pro-alcohol are very safe and cowering. Like if an anti-alcohol study comes out that's obviously been manipulated by the prohibitionist forces, they still publish it and say, oh, you shouldn't drink more than a drink a day, and oh my God, this is terrible. We're going to break down those studies and make sure.
Newsletter for the resistance.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And we're going to speak the brutal truth. It's going to be the brutal hammer of truth because we're going to tell them exactly what's going on instead of all this cowering bullshit to the forces of MAD and all these other anti-drinking assholes.
That does lead right into another article I found titled High Alcohol Taxes May Help Reduce Binge Drinking.
They've been saying that forever.
And it's interesting because what they're talking about... That they're talking about binge drinking rates compared to the state with the highest taxes on beer, Tennessee, and the lowest, which is Delaware, Montana, and Wisconsin. And they're saying that when there's lower taxes, there's less binge drinking. And while that is obviously true from the statistics, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
No, it doesn't.
Because what they've found, they found an association between alcohol taxes and binge drinking rates. It doesn't prove a cause and effect relationship.
Not at all.
And basically, that's like saying the geese fly south for the winter and right around the time that football starts, so football causes the geese to fly.
Or the geese flying south causes winter.
Yeah.
But I can break that down right now. Tennessee is there's still a lot of dry counties. They have a strong religious presence there, even with their lawmakers. So therefore, they're more likely to raise the taxes, and they were never big drinkers to begin with.
Yeah.
Because there are so few drinkers there, they it's easier for them to pass laws to raise taxes.
Well, also,
as opposed to places where there's hard drinkers, they're going to say, no, you're not going to raise those taxes.
Well, yeah, and also Wisconsin especially has a long history of, it's settled by Germans and Norwegians who have a long history of beer drinking. It's very social about your beer drinking. So Wisconsin, of course, they aren't going to let people raise the taxes.
Right.
So there isn't necessarily cause and effect.
Well, that's the correlation does not equal causation.
Yeah.
I'm
exactly.
You've seen the little chart that tracks, I think it was, what was it, Taylor Swift albums or...
Big Fan?
Whatever it's called.
It was the release of Taylor Swift albums and the rise of autism or something.
But, now that...
Well, I could see that having a...
Another interesting study that just came out, we published in the last issue in the Booze News column, was by tracing our genetic code back a million years, they found out that our hominid predecessors were actually, you know, eating rotten fruit a million years ago and already starting to adapt genetically to the effects of alcohol.
Well, yeah, that's a theme I've been harping on since the first Modern Drunkard Convention.
Yeah, we don't want to go too much in that because we've covered that so many times on this podcast, but this is new stuff. This is a million years back.
Well, I just feel vindicated. That's what
I'm saying. And what they're saying is the ones that have the genetic variant of being able to, you know, to handle alcohol and process it properly where the ones more likely to survive during, like, say, starvation times, when all the other monkeys that couldn't process alcohol all died off. So way back then, we started to alcohol and man put their hands together and started walking down the path of life.
There you go.
And they would look at us now.
You can even say that alcohol helped our evolution into who we are today.
Absolutely. Yes. I think alcohol was the most important thing that ever happened to mankind, besides maybe fire. It has been, because it
could have been the forbidden fruit, you know, the fermenting apple. You know.
So, there we go. There's a good allegory.
Yeah. Now, there's the religious perspective we're looking for. I mean, we're just going from science now. It's got the religion in there. I know you're a very religious man there, Adam.
Absolutely. Well, I got kicked out of the garden. You know.
Hell, Satan! Just kidding. I'm not a Satanist.
Oh, we'll have him on later.
I do have a black shirt.
Well, these are really delicious drinks, but they're you made them big, so they're going down a little slow, but we're not moving very fast.
I'm enjoying
it. It's the milk. Yeah, me too. But you put milk in a drink, and I'll call it a drink with me, and it just, for some reason, it slows me down.
You going to fart a lot?
No, it doesn't do that. Okay. It just, I think it's all the protein and stuff. It just, psychologically, I don't drink as fast as I would with like a fizzy drink or a straight bourbon or something.
Which is why you make them real strong.
There you go.
You seem strong enough. Sorry, I'm off to you for your pour.
Because
you did have the vodka and there is alcohol.
I'm disallowed for mixing drinks.
This is the perfect amount of alcohol for them to taste good. But I prefer them stronger because I don't mind that extra vodka taste just because I want to get
well,
you
I figured
well,
the,
we're drinking
the
Monopoly,
first
which
one
is really
you have
vodka,
to go,
so it's got good
you have to go a little easier with the first one at least.
Good point.
We're close.
All right, we're going to try some, we got some cider.
Okay, yeah. This is actually a hometown company.
Is that Glider?
Glider Cider. Actually, the Colorado Cider Company. Glider Cider is the most popular one. Do you have your...
yeah, I got it right here.
This is the new stuff, though. They just rolled this out. We do a trade-out with these guys.
Always have one of these on your keychain, Frank. I'm kind of ashamed.
It's a lighter. Come on. You're a piker.
Yeah. Hack it with a lighter next time.
Hack it.
So how do you feel about everyone calling everything a hack? Life hack?
Yeah, I was going to mention
that,
too.
It really disgusts me, but whatever. You know, it's just...
It's a little ridiculous, because it's like... What is the definition of hacking?
No, well, actually...
That's like to go inside a system and take it over and
it
change
fit,
things, right?
It does fit the definition, you know, the true definition of it. But it's a little ridiculous. That life hacks is a phrase that I absolutely hate.
Oh, you've seen the cocktail hacks? I'm hacking this cocktail, which means I'm changing the recipe slightly. Yeah. I hacked it.
I hacked a recipe the other night and used... salt instead of sugar. It was an accident.
Boom! You totally hacked it, bro. All right, this is this is the Newton or Newtown Pippin. Newtown Pippin. I just like saying that. Pippin. It's the Pioneer series. It's a new series of ciders out of Colorado Cider Company. That is refreshing.
Yeah, it's actually
it's pretty
really
good. I'm not usually that
it's very dry
ciders because usually find too sweet. This is real dry.
No,
cider.
They are really known for the dry. The dryness
of very good.
It actually has a it tastes like an apple.
Yeah, which some ciders actually don't. It's kind
it doesn't
of
have the champagne-y...
Right.
Yeah.
And the super sweet stuff. I don't like the super sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Like
almost all their ciders, they kind of go away from the overcarbonated sort of sugary thing, and which makes them... They use, like, apparently old recipes, but this is a Pioneer Series one, that from the old days where they didn't like it. You know, back then, men were men, and they didn't like this stuff really sweet. But I can see drinking this, like, on a hot day, man, just guzzling a gallon of this stuff.
Actually, yeah.
I'm going to add a little more.
That is good.
All right. So.
Let's go to phase two.
Phase two.
You guys ready for phase two?
I don't know what phase two is.
Phase two is when we discuss. Okay. You go down to the, what is that thing called in Vegas every year?
DEF CON?
DEF CON, right. And there's, of course, there's subsects to it as well. There's the black hat stuff. And
Well, black hat is another, it's completely separate.
It's concurrent, though, isn't it? Or is it right before or right after?
It's sort of right. They're all right around the same.
It's like kind of like Slam Dance and Sundance and all those different.
Yeah, it would be. They're all, right around the same. You can go back to back and go to all of them at the same time. Black Hat's very, very corporate now. It's very expensive. I can't remember what the cost is for passes now. But the thing is, they charge because... Now, that's something that, you know, if you work for a large corporation, they're going to send you to. And so the prices for admission reflect that. There's also something called B-Sides, which is trying to kind of recapture the old school feel of, you know, just a bunch of guys getting together and kind of sharing.
Drinking.
Yeah, drink. Well, obviously drinking is a huge part of it.
What is the state of drinking at this thing?
The state of drinking? Well, everybody's drunk. I mean,
yeah. So.
Yeah,
it is in Vegas, of course, which is...
Yes, yes.
Do they have liquor sponsors at all for this kind of stuff? Or?
No, they don't have liquor sponsors that I've seen.
That's kind of strange. You think that one vodka company that's kind of like trying to make a mark would try to...
Maybe Stitka with the robot thing, you know?
What is it? I mean, there's liquor companies that associate with hip-hop or, you know, country western music, whatever, and this is like a niche that hasn't really been attached
to. It may even be... Well, I mean, as far as sponsoring it, might be able to chase sponsor dollars for it, but they wouldn't be able to actually serve anything because Vegas has kind of got this, almost a unionized cartel thing going on. If you serve liquor, it's got to be served by their people at any of the events, unless, you know, you've snuck it in.
Well, unless it's a restaurant and bar association convention, which is...
At all the casinos.
Now, we got around it even when we were at our convention.
Well, you can get around it, obviously, but...
Yeah, if it's a casino thing.
It's very difficult. Like, Rio is where DEF CON hosted now, or has been for the last few years. The thing is it's not the same scene at all as it was when, the internet and computers were something that wasn't mainstream at all.
Now everybody has a computer. Every TV basically is a computer now.
I'm sure you do remember, but I don't know if you paid any attention. But
I had a Commodore 64, man.
I had a 64. Yeah,
but this was early 90s. Internet was being talked about. One of the news talking heads, she's still around. I can't remember her name actually. So, but she said, what is this internet thing? And it's not the same world anymore. Everybody knows what the
right.
internet is. Everybody's got a computer. We've got a new scourge, programmers. People that used to go into finance are now going into programming and information technology because of the money. It used to be kind of a labor of love with nerds, people that were just...
And these guys are more just into making money. And...
Absolutely.
Yeah, I remember having
that. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with me.
And they're bros.
It's just, yes.
Like high-fiving exactly. all the time and stuff.
Yeah, they're high-fiving.
They have like a keg in the office.
Well, kegs in the office is not, that's there's nothing wrong
It'd
with that.
It'd be freaking awesome. Are you kidding me?
That was
high five,
actually during the
high five.
I'm terrible at high fives. Actually, Sid Pink, master of ceremonies, the savior of all children, he taught me the secret to that because I'm very white. It's watch the elbow, so. Otherwise,
what exactly are you talking about?
So watching my elbow, when high fiving, I'd always miss.
I see what you're saying. So you watched your elbow.
Watch the elbow.
Ah, so he broke. He hacked it. Yeah, essentially,
he hacked.
He hacked the high five. Yeah.
No, I was on a cocktail site the other day, and they were talking about hacking cocktails. We just talked about this, and it was totally ridiculous. Putting bitters in something that usually doesn't have bitters, like a screwdriver or something. He hacked it.
It just
made it taste like crap.
Exactly. I don't see how that's hacking. I thought hacking was like you invade something and you take control of it. And maybe, download something,
or
maybe you steal something.
It's turning something into something that it's not making you useful, whatever. But that's not hacking anything. I mean, adding some ketchup to your hamburger isn't hacking your hamburger. Adding ketchup to something like a grilled cheese sandwich. Nobody puts a ketchup on a grilled cheese sandwich. That's still
did he hack it? That's a hack?
No, it's not hacking. Hacking is taking something and making it do something that it normally doesn't.
What about using like a clothes iron to make a grilled cheese sandwich? Is
that
hacking?
Probably be hacking.
That's kind of hacking.
Not to be hacking your lunch, You don't have a pan and you want a grilled cheese sandwich.
So how would you actually hack a cocktail and not be ridiculous?
Maybe if you use like one of those things that you stick in there and it freezes it or something.
Say you had denatured alcohol, something like that, and then you managed to remove the horrible, horrible bitterant that they've added to it so you don't drink it. If you were able to do something like that, that would be hacking it,
I'm going to hack the rest of the cider right now, bro.
I can hack this.
Because I'm changing my blood chemistry.
Yeah. I just hacked my BAC, bro.
High five!
High five!
Yeah.
All right, should we do another? Do we have nothing else to review? Yeah, so the well, or we can do this. We can do the vodka with this NoHo stuff to protect ourselves from
liver
damage.
We got another NoHo thing. It's basically what ginger ale with the. I mean, we're like,
to me, it tastes like ginger.
We're like doubling up on the hangover, all sorts of stuff.
So well, they suggest though. You, I mean, you could have like you know five cocktails with this stuff, and I've been trying it for like the last month or so, and it seems to be less of a you know. Thing in the morning. And there's something else that happens.
Well, you know, part of it's hydration. Part of it's right. Like making sure that you've got those salts and crap that you lose while you're, you know.
You have vitamin A, which I never really heard.
Yeah, vitamin A, I'm not really sure
iron,
why.
Magnesium, it's phosphorus, zinc.
There must be a reason. Here's what's weird. So you guys haven't read the book yet. Read the book called Proof.
Okay.
The guy's name is Roger Adams or something like that. I'm not sure, but the book's called Proof. And he actually goes into the science of alcohol. Sort of about, it's a lot of history. There's a lot of, you know, molecular stuff and whatever. But one of the things he mentioned in it, I think it was in the book, maybe I read something else, but is that there is like 23% of the population that does not get hangovers.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get any hangovers until I think I was in my late 30s.
Were you drinking?
I literally thought that they were bullshit.
Huh.
I thought that people were lying when they said that it was an excuse for them to be lazy.
Yeah, for me, it was my mid 30s.
And then one day I just, you know, I felt like death and, you know, it's.
I wonder what the scientists, well, he kind of discussed that. And like he said in the book, he's like, the scientific name for these guys is assholes.
Well, I used to be able to get up in the morning, you know, after just, you know, drinking everything.
Well, when I was a young man, yeah.
Crack a hot beer, you know, and enjoy it. But
yeah, you know, it's hard for me to remember back if I was like, yeah, I'd wake up really hot. I mean, if I was in the Army, I'd wake up and I would go for, you know, a 10-mile run because I was in the Ranger Battalion, and I would be very dehydrated. But then again, I remember I would do the run and I'd still survive, but it seems like I didn't really start getting hangovers until I was about 25, and when I was traveling around Europe and stuff, and I'd wake up, and I'd just feel like shit, like
it's
poisoned.
When your body goes into, it's probably a genetic component to it. It's when you're on the decline, and then your body just can't take care of all that crap.
Well, I think it also might be part of how physically active you are. I mean, but you're talking about the 10-mile run, and, you know, when I have a hangover, I want to just stay at home and hide out, but when I have to go, like, be a stagehand and work like that,
so just push it along.
My hangover gets... I sweat it out, basically.
Right.
I mean, it could be activity as well.
I don't know. It depends on how.
Although exercise is the one thing you really don't want to do.
Yeah, and as you get older, that's the way you want to do it less and less.
Yeah, because I post about hangovers on Twitter sometimes, and I get these responses back like, hangovers, what's that? I was like, fuck you, man. I'm hoping.
Just do wait.
No, I said, dude, drink a handle of freaking shitty freaking bourbon.
No, not you have to add, you know, several beers.
No, no, exactly. You know, and then
maybe a white
drink
Russian
a
koala, or two.
Yeah. Drink some wine, drink some sherry, mix it all together, and tell me you're not going to wake up feeling bad. I mean, when you wake up feeling normal, there's no freaking way you can wake up feeling normal. You got to have some kind of effect.
It depends on how old you are. I really believe.
And we're.
I know, but some of these guys saying they don't get hangovers are like, you know, my age. They're like, you know, 50, and they're claiming they don't get hangovers, which really pisses me off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe there is a genetic component to it because...
There could be. Or there could just be
the lucky
so much liver damage that they're just, you know, out there.
No, I think with the liver damage, it's probably going to make it
One
worse.
Thing I noticed, though, if you're like on a full-on bender, like about day five, if you're like, I'm talking about you wake up and you start drinking, then you tell you pass out and keep going. Day five, you stop getting hangovers. It just kind of becomes like
Well, that's because you're still drunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, as long as you stay drunk, and as long as you have a good mental, like, I'm having a great time,
but when you stop, that's when you end up having the full-day hangover.
That's when you curl up in the fetal position in the back of the van as they drive you back from Vegas.
Hey, I remember that trip. Yeah. Have to drive
that's
over
like every convention
we've ever done. After I gave myself a concussion outside the Double Down. Yeah, that was a good trip.
All right, well, I say let's take a 5-minute break for have a smoke.
Use the toilet.
Use the toilet.
Robotic cigarettes.
We'll load up some more drinks and.
All right.
Okay. We'll be back in five.
All right, let's find a napkin or something.
Yeah.
Two days.
Or are we gonna?
Is that
make,
weird? That's weird as hell.
Maybe we should do that first.
Bleeding through.
We'll do both, and then we'll just.
Oh, it's eating through.
I say we finish these.
No, it's just.
And then make.
When it was molded, the red plastic is like bleeding through the white plastic, so you can see it. Like,
yeah, it slows you down.
I was like, "What the hell's the red stuff?"
Oh, the thing we talked about is why there isn't like a Hunter S. Thompson convention thing going on.
Oh, dude, you know, when we did that fucking thing, after Yuri died or whatever, we did that fantastic host thing with the bus, the big silver bus thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Talk about fantastic.
I'll go into the Hunter, why there isn't a Hunter S. Thompson festival, and maybe kind of hint that we might be, because I've been thinking about doing something like
that.
I
don't know if you want to talk about that, but yeah.
Yeah, but then once I lock into that, you should jump in with that story. Okay. That's a really interesting story.
That's not that interesting, really.
Isn't it? I think it's funny.
All right.
Well, you know, and should talk about the Fantastic Host a little bit, do you think?
I've been out of it since basically I've been married and trying to have kids anyhow. So, I don't know. I guess we could, I mean, Lawrence and all those guys are good friends. And
so we have,
well, you know, I've been to, a couple parties, and they're fun drinking parties.
Yeah. Well, they used to be like...
Let's preload these with ice, and we'll be ready.
Yeah. I mean, the first one I went to was the one when I first met you at the Gothic. Not the Gothic, the...
At the church. Turnpike.
The church.
Oh, at the church? Oh.
When Lisa was like,
"Yo, I went to one of
meet this. Okay, you're gonna meet Adam, and my last boyfriend put out a cigar on his hand.
Who was her boyfriend?
I don't know. Oh, it's probably Roger.
I went to one of those.
Well, the only guys that I like put a cigar out on their hand is guys that like I heard rape somebody.
Well, apparently you did not get along because she like had this whole like image of that you were a terrifying human being to give me, and then I showed up and we started talking about Mark Hickey. And then she it confused the hell out of her that you and I were just something like, oh, yeah, Mark Hickey. And, you know,
No, I mean, I mean to, like, bad people, but I'm a nice guy.
If it's Roger, ex-boyfriend's a douchebag.
So. I mean, Chuck's known me for a long time. Okay. No, I mean, people that deserve to be mean.
No, that's what I figured. But,
yeah. You know, I don't think it's a rule that you have to be nice to bad people.
Yeah, I'm not nice to bad people. I'm actually mean to bad people. But
yeah,
as it should be.
No, I've put out cigars on a couple of guys' hands, and they were rapists, actually. Like, one of them was sitting there talking to me for a while, and I was like, "You fuck you, what are you doing talking to me?" He's like, "What are you talking about, blah, blah, blah," and I talked to him. And I just, you know, put the cigarette out on his fucking hand, and he's like, "Oh!" I was like, "Well, what do you want to do?"
Apply first aid or something?
No, he just left, you know. It's like, fucking pussy. Fucking rapist.
That's what I get over here. Whatever. Yeah. All right, we ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's load these up first.
Yeah, let's get this all going. So.
Dead air while we're trying to fix this shit up.
Horse chunks. Did I already finish chunks? Oh, okay. And milk over here. Here we go.
You might just do a mudslide because milk's a bit much.
What's a mudslide? Isn't that have chocolate in it?
No, it's just glue and vodka.
Okay.
And then that's a Black Russian.
Oh, Black Russian.
Yeah, right. That's just.
Yeah.
I
thought a mudslide had chocolate in it.
I bet it does. Yeah, but mudslide has some sort of Godiva chocolate or some shit in it. We also need to talk about our expansion into Austin and Austin.
Okay,
whenever you guys are ready. All right, then we're back. We've fixed up some new White Russians, a little stronger this time, I think.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, they are.
And we're going to get to some other cocktails with this NoHo stuff that's going to protect our livers.
And we'll let you know next time on that. I'm also supposed to drink this... rescue water thing tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, they sent this out to us to try out, and I've tried it. It's really high carbs, so I'm not into carbs, as you know, but give it a try. Okay, speaking of Hunter S. Thompson.
What?
I'm dead. It's called a false segue.
Ah, I get it.
Since his death, of course, you know, I think we're all big fans of him here.
Giant fan. Yeah,
gigantic fans. And but there hasn't really, I mean, I don't think they had something down in his hometown, down south somewhere, whatever town that was. But it's not really a Hunter S. Thompson convention.
They haven't anything in Woody Creek?
You would think they would. I bet they have some kind of thing at the bar, Woody Creek Tavern. They probably have like some annual thing, but obviously it's not a big thing.
Is that the annual thing? They could like tear gas the whole bar and then have some guy come in and
that would be fun. I don't like that. Yeah. I really don't like tear gas.
That's what he did.
When I'm drunk. I know.
He tear gassed the bar and came with a gas mask so he could have a drink.
Being tear gassed or maced is not a good
thing. No, I've been there. It's
you know,
So I was thinking, maybe we can contact the whoever. I'm sure it's his last wife who's control of the estate. And we could maybe set something up in Denver, where we can have, or maybe even Woody Creek, and do a 100 S Thompson convention of some sort.
I'd rather do it in Denver because Woody Creek's expensive as hell.
It is. It's very expensive.
It's also difficult.
Where would everybody stay? Maybe have to either have to camp out or something because yeah, the hotels out there are freaking insane.
Yeah, the year he died, I've got some friends that do something and that I was involved in before I guess, got older and decided I was going to take on some responsibilities that I probably...
Yeah, I know how that is.
Anyhow, we did
a... talking about children, folks.
Exactly.
A Hunter S. Thompson memorial for the St. Patrick's Day parade. And we had a great big silver bus, everybody either dressed as him or something, and you know, we had some alcohol on the bus among other things, and we had this banner at the front that was, and actually what was the brewery that
Flying Dog
actually paid for the kegs that were on the bus.
Really?
Ralph Steadman did all the artwork.
And yeah, so we had a lot of that stuff, and the banners were painted in that style of Ralph Steadman. And I did a big, there was a big triangular banner on the front of the bus, and I did a big blood splatter on the front of the bus. And I thought, you know, it's really appropriate. He blew his brains out, like you said.
Maybe it's too early.
No, it wasn't too early. Come on, it's Hunter Thompson.
I'm sure he wouldn't have.
He would have been absolutely. Yeah. And anyhow, it got painted over with green. And I was like, you know, this is...
Like he was a Martian or something?
Yeah. It was just
he might have been.
He talked about doing it.
He was a great man, though. He has an incredible influence on a lot of the writing in Modern Drunkard and just the creation of Modern Drunkard. I used to send issues of the early issues to Woody Creek Tavern in care of Hunter Thompson to him. I'm not sure if he ever read them or not, but I'm sure he got all kinds of mail there.
I used to work for a magazine. I did actually just layout editor, but I did try and meet him. Spent a week up there hanging out at the bar.
At Woody Creek?
Yeah, trying to meet him. And he never showed up. So.
Yeah, I went there twice because I worked in Aspen for a season. It's kind of ski bumming, and I never saw him there.
Yeah,
I used to have, the first tattoo I got was the Gonzo symbol.
The sword.
Me and a bunch of friends got it drunk, sending a friend off into the military. And years later, he came and did a reading at Chautauqua Park up in Boulder. And my friend asked him, you know, what do you think if someone got a tattoo of that? And he's like, I cut it off him with a knife.
I'm sure he was joking.
Yeah, I know, but it was a great response.
But yeah, well, let's raise one to Hunter S. Thompson.
Here's to HST.
Yeah, and like I said, we should
start. What about rare, you know, an apology? It's hard to find somebody who's unapologetic about their
vices
now, and especially now. It's actually
what was this thing? Never apologize, never explain. Yep.
Yeah, how rare that is now. That's absolutely disgusting, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole Gonzo ideal where, you nowadays everybody's always backtracking and apologizing. Like Brian Williams is a good example.
I don't want to offend anyone. Well, Brian Williams, come on. He's just, whatever.
Total liars.
Professional liars. Whatever. Yeah. Who cares about news?
It's starting to look like he's a fabulist of some sort. He was just making up shit all along. Rescuing puppies from fires. And...
Yeah, that was great. You know,
I did that three times.
He rescued one puppy the first time.
You did it was two puppies.
And then it was two puppies.
Yeah, then he was like in Katrina, but he was on top of the hill where, you know, there was like no... So apparently there's some guy
spotty
sunbathing down there. He's like, hey, I see a body floating in the grass.
No, wait, he was on a hill in New Orleans?
Well, what is the name of the hill?
There is no hill in New Orleans.
There is the one place that was not flooded.
Oh, yeah,
it's a
slight rise. It's
the oldest part of the of New Orleans where they first built stuff because it was a kind of a hill.
Sea level.
Yeah, I mean,
what is the area called?
Yeah,
it's called Six Inch Hill.
No, it's got a freaking.
No,
name.
Well, I know where I used to live in New Orleans.
What is the name of the most historic part of New Orleans?
The Quarter.
Okay, French Quarter.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, because it's the highest part in the city.
Yeah, I used to live right outside.
That's why
the
they built there first because it was the highest part.
And the floodwaters came within like 5 feet of my old apartment.
Right,
but yeah, which is right.
Yeah, but screw him. We don't want to talk about that.
Hey, that was
okay. Have you guys tried this Drizzly thing? This alcohol delivery.
Drizzly.
It's an app. You get on your phone, and you
I've
say,
"I've heard about it. I haven't tried it." No.
You go to Argonaut. Basically, everything Argonaut has on their shelves, you can order. You deliver it to your door. It's like $5 delivery, and there's a built-in kind of thing for the.
Can you set it up so it's delivered like every week?
I bet you could.
Wow. Oh.
I tried it, and it was really fast. The driver is very courteous, and because Argonauts are, you know, a large store, it was very cheap. It was cheaper than walking down to the local liquor store. It was good. You know, I've only done it once, though, because it just seemed kind of soulless. I kind of enjoy the walk down to the liquor store, you know, and talking to the liquor store. But it's a great service.
But I can see it being great in the middle of a binge where you just don't really want to get up and walk.
Right. Right.
You know, no, I've become very reclusive too, so I'd like that. I just don't like talking.
You should try it. It's like $5.
What? What
Although
are you doing
generally,
here?
You get that $5 taken off with all their discount codes and whatever. And there's kind of a scale thing. You got to pay the driver so much, which of course you want to do. You want to tip the guy.
Yeah.
But if you order from him, because Argonaut is such a cheap store, you'll end up, you know, saving yourself some money. And we actually approached Drizzly, and I was like, hey, maybe we can do like a deal in Denver here where when you deliver your liquor, you can give them a, you know, copy of The Drunkard.
Were
you
want to
guess
scared?
How that went down?
Were they
scared? Yeah. No reply.
No. It does constantly get me is that somehow we're like a terror organization when it comes to,
right.
to even people involved in the alcohol industry, and they're like, I don't know, you guys are too extreme. And
I get it though, you know, because we are extreme in our things, and because they're like an up and coming.
You're so
tech
extreme
thing,
that you know
that we got turned down by
about
Spike
what
TV.
Everybody actually
right.
uses alcohol yeah. for is to get drunk and escape from, you know, everyday life for a couple hours and have a good time. You know?
Oh, and that leads into
for a couple days.
Yes,
well, 4 weeks.
Weeks, sometimes even maybe years.
Maybe years.
That does lead into
that's my end game.
Another story. Working long hours may raise the risk for alcohol abuse, according to a new study, which makes complete sense to me.
Oh, absolutely.
They're saying that people over 48 hours a week were almost 13% more likely to drink in excess in those hours.
Well, of course.
Hours or less.
What is excess?
You put that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But there, you know, even if you just go straight with people who are working overtime are going to drink more... Well, that makes perfect sense.
I totally.
I mean, when I was had a day job, was running a restaurant, and I was working 65 hours a week, my one day off, I would go out and just pack it all in
right.
there because I was so stressed out and so exhausted, and it was the only time to go and have fun and not be at work. I mean, when you're at work all the time, you know, when you have a time to, you know, I think it's therapeutic.
Oh,
I think
it is,
it's bad
definitely.
For you. I think it saves your stress levels.
Oh, that's when
levels.
You're supposed to fix the washer.
Oh, exactly. but definitely, you know, I mean, it reduces your stress levels.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, and you're less likely to, I don't know, go postal or whatever because, you know, you get to relax a little
right.
bit.
Right. If you're putting like a 10
it's
12
really
hour day
to go
in, you need
too,
at the end hammer. Of that day to have that.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't hit a
the drink
thing.
Or drink.
You know, you forget everything. You might even be ready to go postal. You might be. You know, down at the post office, you're ready. You've got your gorilla suit on.
Yeah,
and the dildo.
Yeah,
no.
Is that how you imagine you can go?
No,
postal?
This actually happened.
Really?
A few years ago.
Gorilla suit and a dildo.
And he did forget to bring his guns inside. He had all his guns in his car, and he forgot to bring them inside. He just had the gorilla suit and the dildo, and they called
what
the police.
An amateur.
You know, obviously, he's not there to mail a package.
Well, I used to drink with postal workers. There's this one bar in downtown, it's gone down. I used to go there every day after I got off work and drink with the postal workers. And they're like, you know, why do you hang out with us? I'm like, well, you know, I don't want to get shot. You know, the way I look at it is just be like, bang, bang, hey, Nick, bang, bang. It's fine.
You're cool.
And then what they told me is like, no, we aren't going to shoot anybody who's there. We're going to shoot each other. You don't have to worry about it, is what the postal workers told me. So. But yes, definitely. I think that's not a bad thing that people who work more drink more. I think it's a necessity
so.
To get through life in reality.
Okay, here's this little tidbit I read in the news: is that flavored whiskeys are now starting to grab a lot of ground from flavored vodkas. How do you feel about that?
I think flavored.
I'm kind of torn on that. Because I always thought, I don't like flavored whiskeys because it's like, I always thought whiskey was something that's, you know, very pure. It's not something you're going to adulterate with. They're usually honey these days and...
Cinnamon.
If you can grab somebody from the ether right here, somebody who really likes the whole cinnamon whiskey thing, can we?
Yeah.
Can we bring them in? Let's talk about Fireball Whiskey.
Okay, we've got Chuck over here who's been watching this. He's our security today. He's part of Adam's entourage.
So you're a big fan of Fireball.
I would say I'm a big fan of it. It's just okay.
Fireball has actually, you know, made a lot of inroads on Jägermeister. Jägermeister used to be the shot of choice.
Actually, I would say that Fireball deserves that over Jägermeister, because Jägermeister is terrible tasting shit.
I agree,
it was originally a medicinal thing, like you're hunting, blah blah blah. You don't feel so great. Take one shot, you know, of it. That's fine, whatever. It's got a horrible taste, and you know, maybe you think some of the herbs that are in it are gonna.
I've known Germans who actually recommended. And this is weird, but you microwave it a little bit, get a little warm when you're hungover, and it settles your stomach.
That's like the aperitif type of thing or whatever. Yeah. But again, people don't drink it like that here.
Yeah.
It's not a medicinal thing. It's a shot.
And it has pretty much taken over the shot of choice for almost everybody.
Right.
When I go to the bar, everybody wants a Fireball shot.
Right. Well, for a while,
it used to be Jägermeister.
Or Tuaca. Yeah. It was Tuaca.
Tuaca.
Yeah. Tuaca is a Denver thing. It's only a Denver thing. Nobody's ever heard of it anywhere else.
They have. It's weird. If you go like to San Francisco or whatever, it's always the chefs that are drinking Tuaca. It's kind of weird. It's some kind of a weird relationship.
Well, okay. So I was at Bourbon and Bacon Festival, and it is just as bad as how you describe the Great American Beer Festival, but actually worse. I called it Linefest 2015. You wait in line, and then you get inside, and then you wait in line. And you
this
get
is a Denver one?
Yeah, and you get
thimble. I went to the first one.
You get a thimble full of whiskey, and then you wait in line for 20 minutes, get another one. And then the Fireball table was wide open.
Huh.
And so I just ran over there, and it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. And then we left and went over to Pint's Pub, a place that has a scotch list, and just got drunk on scotch because we're like, wow, we just wasted $50 on this festival where I just sat around waiting for a drink the entire time. It was not good.
Was I there?
No, this is the
most. I was at the first one. You went to the second one.
Last month.
Yeah, I thought it was
Hey, you know, I'll drink Fireball, Chuck. Yeah. I will.
Okay.
Yeah, he was at the Physic Opera.
You considered like the Fireball King of Washington State.
Yes, a dear friend of mine, actually one of my best friends in the world, just opened a club here in Denver. It's probably, you know.
I'd like to mention the name.
Yeah,
they're advertisers. We can talk about them. Yes.
But he's got a lot of, you know, his own.
They craft. Make their own Fireball there.
Right. It's not Fireball.
I bet it isn't because let me give you a little quick tip here. You know Fireball, it tastes like cinnamon? That's not cinnamon.
Oh, is it the...
It's pepper. It's like a red pepper and some other kind of... It's like instead of cinnamon, it's apparently too expensive, so they use red pepper and some other things to make it taste like
cinnamon. And apparently antifreeze.
Jonathan has set up his own...
One country.
You know, he's got a lot of, essentially, tinctures that he's... what would you call them? They're not tinctures.
Infusions.
Okay, sure. There you go. And it was apples and cinnamon sticks and something else. And
what was the name of the bar?
Syntax. Opera.
That's right.
And Syntax, it has absolutely nothing to do with opera.
It's on Broadway.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, although last time I was there, they had two opera singers from the Denver Opera singing across.
That may be something.
Next time, they're doing Kill the Rabbit. They're doing Wagner with the Bugs Bunny lyrics.
This is like some David Lynchian stuff.
I mean, it's really awesome.
That's Wagner. That's Wagner. You non-Nazi.
Uh-oh, we're starting to still the Godwin principle is going to come into play here. Who's going to call Hitler? Who Hitler first? You're Hitler.
No, I'm Hitler.
You're Stalin.
Yeah, he's Stalin.
Okay. I am the communist.
Stalin, Hitler, I'll be Mussolini. How about that?
Oh, I'm not Hitler. I'm sorry.
You can't be Mussolini because you're too effective.
He was quite effective. He got the trains running on time.
That's about it.
Okay, we should mention that the drunkard is now, we're doing it, because we have this free dispensation system where we, of course, give out free magazines all over Denver, all the bars in Denver.
Yeah.
Whoever wants one gets one. Some bars will not take them. We should maybe mention them as the blacklist. But that's maybe we'll do that next time.
We'll do that next time.
We can threaten you now.
Let's blacklist some bars.
Yeah, but all we're trying to do is give them some free magazines to give away to their patrons. No. They're like, no, No, actually, let's name them. We don't allow any sort of publication because our customers might start reading or something.
1UP does not allow that? Really?
Well, I came in and they're like, I don't know if we can leave.
Okay, well, you know what I'm going to do then?
Shall we just say the names?
For all
Okay, it's, okay, let's say the names. Historians Pub will not let us leave our magazines there.
We left them last time.
No, this time, apparently, that would shock them so much they can't leave them in there. And Sputnik will not let us leave magazines
there. That's absolutely
And Atomic
ridiculous.
Cowboy.
Adrift.
Which seems like would be right up our alley, does not let us leave magazines there. Probably, some of them have rules against leaving any kind of publication there, but whatever it is. And some of them just don't like the drunkard. Adrift, of course, Tiki Bar. I think they're against just any kind of publication. Oh, we should mention, though, that like I was saying, we are now expanding into Austin and Los Angeles.
So where are we going to drop magazines in Los Angeles, or do we have a distributor?
Well, our guy out there is like, we dropped 1,000 issues there this time, and he's just hitting kind of the bars he knows and stuff, and just kind of spread them around town. We're going to slowly grow that.
Hopefully at the Hermosa Saloon, which is my favorite bar when I live down there.
I will talk to our guy and see if we can get some in there.
That was the bar where I was sitting there drinking, and this guy came in and said, you ever heard of Modern Drunkard? To the bartender, and the bartender just looked at him weird, pointed down the bar and said, well, that's one of the writers. And then the guy found out I wrote for him, and then he went home to get money to buy me drinks. And that was great.
That is some Jungian synchronicity.
We did something called the Sputnik, which for him, it was...
And that bar would not let us drop issues in Denver.
But this one was, it was a slice of lemon.
Okay.
One side you put sugar, the other you put ground coffee, and then you do a shot of vodka, and you bite down on it.
Instant coffee, I'm assuming.
Yes. And it was really good, actually.
Huh.
Yeah. And Hermosa Saloon, I think they're a great place. And then Austin, I mean, I was just down in Austin meeting the rep, and that was fun.
Yeah.
A great town.
Yeah.
Great drinking town.
It is. I lived there for 2 years, and it's kind of a college town, but yeah, there's some great drinking there. Great bars there.
Oh, yeah.
Very solid bars.
Casino El Camino?
Yeah, that opened up while I was there, and it's still going strong.
Hamburger I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yes.
And you've probably had a lot of hamburgers.
It has ruined hamburgers for me for any other place in the country. So, all right, let's take a break until Adam comes back.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, there he is.
All right. Nice. He just kind of disappeared for a second.
I think we were talking about terrible bars.
Yeah, talking about Ellie and Austin.
We had elevated the discussion to good bars. Anywho. Not only PBR.
Yeah, absolute bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. It turned out to be apparently it was some kind of power play or something. But it's not only PBR. It was Colt 45, Schlitz, Old Milwaukee, Lone Star, National Bohemian, and Rainier.
Well, Rainier?
Rainier, yeah. Apparently, they're all owned right now by the same people.
Yeah, Rainier is not a terrible, cheap lager.
No, I drink that when I was in Washington.
Neither is Lone Star. I like Lone Star.
No, I agree. But this is one of the things, I hope I don't offend too many people from Rainier here, but you had the same thing going on, I'm talking to the Rainier people now. But you have the same thing going on as, Pilsner Club.
Speak truth to power, baby. That's what we do.
You rip us off in a 12-pack, one beer. 11 ounces.
Oh, 11 ounces.
11-ounce bottles.
Olympia does the same thing.
Yes, is it prominently displayed on the label that they're actually serving 11 ounces?
Yes, it does say 11 ounces.
Well, you know what you're getting into.
But yes, you're losing one beer. So you have to take that into account when you go out and you think, you're buying a 12-pack of cheap beer.
Okay, we're going to try this vodka and...
Yeah, this is the NoHo thing. It's where...
Okay, is that all vodka?
It's like the next step, and instead of like doing like a sort of energy shot, you actually...
Okay. No, I'm just...
You mix this stuff with your... It's like a mixer.
Well, obviously, it's going to, affect my my assessment of the drink, so if it's...
No, but this is supposed to be mixed.
8 inches of vodka and 1 inch of stuff, then...
Oh, was it that? Did I pour that much? Come on, it wasn't
that. No, it's
bad.
Only... The glass is only 8 inches tall.
Oh, come on. You're a big boy. You can drink it.
Of course I can drink it.
Damn straight. Okay, so this is NoHo. It tastes to me like ginger ale.
Very American toast.
You see, it's not that strong.
Well, ginger is supposed to... Actually, it's supposed to be another thing that's good for blood stuff in your
liver. No, it's supposed to. Yeah, it's also supposed to be an anti-inflammatory.
It's a blood thinner and an anti-inflammatory.
I don't know that it is a blood thinner. It's supposed to be, but I don't really think it is.
Let's eat a bunch of ginger and then cut
it. I do eat a lot of ginger.
No? Okay.
Okay, I think we're coming up on an hour here, or at least maybe a little more than that.
Are we rambling now at this point?
I'm ruining the
whole podcast. I know, but we still have...
No, you aren't.
You know, we're going to finish our drinks we have here.
That I had no idea that I was a guest.
That's what they all say.
Hanging out. Yeah, we did start with a 175 of Monopolova, and...
We got about a quarter of a little less than a quarter left.
Yeah, so, you know...
But it's three of us. So.
Okay.
If it was just me drinking the 175, that would be like, yeah, it's pretty kick-ass. You know what? I've drank a 175 in one sitting before.
Oh, I've done that too.
Yeah. It's not pretty at the end of it, but you got to be kind of motivated to do that. You have to be angry.
You can't have kids.
I've not drank a 175. I've drank a 750 in one night while I have kids, but you can't do 175 and... That's something that we should really.
See, and here's the thing is, I mean, you guys have young kids, and my kid's 23, so
yeah.
But we should. Yeah,
good
we
luck,
should
guys.
Allow,
you know, I'm having a good
this
time
is something
right now.
We should warn the listeners: don't have children.
No.
Children are great.
No, they're awesome. I think it was one of the best moves ever made was to marry my second wife and start having children.
What was that called? It's a Japanese movie. All the kids on the island. Catching Fire or something. Katniss.
Catching Fire. You mean Hunger Games?
Yeah, something like that.
That's my wife's really into that stuff, and I try to watch it, and it was just so awful. But then I watched the riff track version. You know the riff track.
Yeah,
thing?
But did you see the original, the Japanese version?
No, it's not. Why are we talking about the fucking Hunger
Games?
Yeah,
what the hell are we talking about, man? What the hell, bro?
You invited me. I'm drunk.
I know.
Awesome.
We're going to finish these drinks during the subjects. We also are drinking fast here.
Oh, yeah. And if we're going to get back into the hacking thing and technology and blah, blah,
technology.
Blah.
Technology. Okay. We're talking about the future
of boozing. Everyone, throw it out.
Future of boozing.
Throw this shit out.
You're a Luddite now. You're just like
No, I'm not a Luddite, actually. I'm not a Luddite. I just know where it's going.
But you know every Luddite website I've gone to, they're down. They've got a 404.
Well, it's because they have wooden computers.
Yes, they're doing the milking. But
let's get back to it. The future, I mean, there are now, it's amazing how technology is intruding into the drinking now, because now they have these robot bartenders. They had one on a cruise ship that actually had a big, gigantic, you know, robot arm that was making cocktails. You have to, you know, put it on the dial pad and stuff to make you a cocktail. But in Japan, they're having these actual robot bartenders make your drinks. They have a robot hotel. All the workers are robots. And also they have, which is actually pretty cool, I saw a Kickstarter thing about it. There's like three different Kickstarter things about this. They have this thing. It sits on your counter in your kitchen. It's about...
Yeah, your home robot bar. Yeah.
It's like 3 feet across, maybe a foot deep and a foot tall. And you just you drop the kind of this bag in there and you program it with your phone or on the touchpad, and it makes you beer. It's like with those bread makers that came out like 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay. That's actually a great idea.
It's a brilliant idea.
I'm against it all.
Why?
So why?
Well, I make my own beer.
You're a Luddite, bro. You're locked in the past.
Let's go back into the nerd past, okay? There was a program called Print Shop Pro. This was back in the 80s. Everything was still very blocky, pixelated. You know, like, okay, for the kids out there, Minecraft looks like that. everything's pixelated. It's all 8-bit, whatever. Chuck here. Was part of this, and Chuck's sitting over in the corner being good for some reason.
He's part of Adam's
entourage. He's actually a brilliant designer. He's a font. He does hand painted whatever the hell he does. Custom fonts for everybody. Navy, NBC, whatever. He did the NBC Sports logo. He's sitting over there. Let's see, where was it going with this?
You were talking about how robots are taking over drinking.
Okay.
They're drinking all our alcohol. We can't stand for this bullshit. Yeah, robots!
That's not what I was talking about.
No, they take the alcohol, they chug it down, and it turns into energy of some sort. And they
damn come, it, Bender.
And they build more robots. Eventually, no, I do believe this, though. Eventually, we're going to have to fight the robots.
Isn't that a Philip K. Dick story?
Oh, well, no, I do believe it's that like we're going to eventually have to fight the robots. But here's what happened.
I mean, there's no other way around it. It's going to eventually happen.
With the information tech fucking whatever the hell scene, info security, I kind of left for a little while. At the kind of the end of the boom, the end of the 90s, I was very active. And then I just kind of slipped out for 7-8 years.
Where'd you go? What'd you do?
I came back. I made a lot of money, and then I didn't pay any attention, and I did some other things. But I drank a lot. And
excellent.
Anyhow, came back, and suddenly there's this new group of kids that did have...
This is about drinking in some way, right?
Yes, it is, okay. Actually. Well, keep it going. Is about drinking, but it's also about just doing your own thing.
It's about having a sense of wonder, Adam.
No. I'm going to cry now.
That is so important.
It is.
That sense of wonder.
Your mother scratches.
Anywho, tell us how the robots are trying to steal our liquor. Well, these take bartender jobs away.
No, what's happened is people have absolutely lost the sense of the necessity of privacy.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Literally, when I left, most of the people that were involved in information security, hacking, blah, 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 whatever you want to call it, were vehemently against monitoring, cloud hosting, when I heard of that concept, I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Who's gonna put their information on somebody else's computer?
Upload all your freaking files up to this fucking cloud.
Allow them to
and that will never be hacked. Yeah, of course not.
That was the whole deal. And everybody that I knew was,
and they'll never go through all your stuff.
And then 8 years later, somehow another generation comes along and they're actually kind of okay with it. And that's actually very creepy to me.
No, it is creepy.
Well, you know,
the kids see the cameras on the corners.
And I said this when it started happening, like in the mid 90s, when they started putting cameras in school, they said, this is going to, you know, kind of
damage them.
Well, it's not going to damage them. It's going to get monitored while they're eating lunch.
The elf in the corner.
Or while they're walking.
The elf thing?
Well, I'm not going to talk. Come on. That's not the same thing. This is an actual kid.
I know, but it's like getting them ready for surveillance.
Though. Yeah. Well, actually, that's exactly what it's doing. That's what the cameras in the schools was doing. And I said something about it. And a lot of people said, oh, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the people that were in the same circles that I was in said, no, you're absolutely right. Come on, blah, blah, blah. And then I step out of it for 8 years and come back and there's actually another generation and they don't care.
No.
They actually don't care that like all of these companies are doing this. And but I knew that, but it's also scary as shit.
Of course it is.
Well, okay, here's my thing about privacy and say Facebook, where people are like, they're mining our data and they're taking care of this. I'm like, Well, are you there
you
under?
Have to expect
well,
it,
no,
though.
No, but are you but, there under? You're volunteering all your information.
Absolutely.
No, are you there under your real name?
Yeah.
Yes. Are you there?
No, my name is Radical Larry. Anybody that wants to be my friends, I'm.
Which
I'm
is
Radical
your real name, right?
And that is really my real name.
And I'm Nick Plummer.
I'm all business all the time.
No, it is not.
I burrow underground.
And when they ask for a phone number or address, I'm like, no, I'm not going to give that to you. I'm not. I mean, you volunteer your privacy away.
No,
when
but
you're dealing with
the thing is yeah. Now you're not just volunteering that. When you use the site, you're
okay,
not...
Okay, whoa. We got to stop right here.
Okay.
We're not talking about alcohol.
Okay, hey. Let's go back to robot. Right. Let's go back to robot bartender.
Well, okay. we can segue right into employers doing data mining or not data mining, but
yeah.
Doing a search when you're hiring somebody now. They look at your Facebook profile, and a lot of people have been ditched or
no, they put the picture of themselves partying and stuff, and
yeah,
which
and,
is
and well, they've been it, fired.
Well,
they've got beers right. in their hands, and there's actually an app that replaces bottles and cups with cats.
Just,
so it looks like you're
I'm sure they're gonna
guess.
I'm sure they're gonna
guess. You're holding up your instead of holding up a big bottle of, say,
you're strangling a cat.
Strangling or something.
So don't do that with PETA.
You're holding a big, you're holding a big, like, you know, it's a tortoiseshell tabby or something like that.
Okay, so my problem with the robot beer, like bread machines, everything else, is that I've been homebrewing for 25 years.
Right.
And it's not, you can put it all in and get beer, but for me, the more joy is like experimenting with recipes and actually.
Well, sure, but none of us all have the time really for that bullshit. It. No.
When it is drinking it when I come up with something that's fantastic, and my last batch I think was pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, no, so, no, but it reminds me, like, remember the freaking the little bakery boxes came out. How they call those the.
Yeah, the bread.
The bread makers.
Bread makers.
Yeah. When those came out, where there's like, there's a big rise up of like home bakers, they're like, oh my God, it makes it too easy.
No, I liked it. I used mine to.
It's the same with it. So you have one and I used mine. You want to keep doing your
homebrew thing. I used to just go to the store, but now this thing goes in my closet and makes bread.
Yeah. I say you cannot stop technology. This is going to happen. I think it's great. I don't have the time to do it. So actually, I made my first batch of beer.
Yeah,
as you know.
That was actually pretty good.
No. It was a Mr. Beer thing.
Bad.
And they showed me all the. And it comes with a video and it shows you how to do it. It's very simple. That was my first batch of homebrew. And the recipe is called American Light. And it tasted like, you know, freaking light
beer.
Oh, I know where I was going with this. I made my own beer back in.
It's a lot of effort. And I was using like this kind of a box beer thing. And you do the real thing where you actually.
Well, no, I don't do whole grain because I make good enough beer that I'm happy with malt extract, which is what you
want. Okay.
So you I do.
Well, shame on you for not.
Well, no,
doing
I do a combination because I use a lot of specialty grains.
Okay, so you were taking some shortcuts. So why shouldn't the rest of us be able to take a shortcut by using this, you know, this computerized thing on our counter, like a toaster that makes us beer? I think it's a great system.
If you want to make,
here's the good thing about it is,
go ahead, you know?
Yeah, actually, it would be,
it's 12 cents.
You know what, you guys,
pint, man,
have,
that is cheap as
you
hell.
Gave me a new
you can
idea.
Make a beer for 12 cents.
I have not
that
had
is
an epiphany for
awesome.
A long time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take, you know, organic matter, and we're going to put it in there, and it's going to ferment, and we're going to turn it into ethanol.
Eventually,
and
yeah.
It's going to spit out.
That is the next thing. Is going
no,
to be.
It's my thing. Shut up, you.
Dude, I'm sure they're working on that. I'm sure they're like they're going to have a little machine that's
going to.
No,
they
steal
aren't
your
going
liquor.
To. I'm going to. It's going
well,
to.
Well, you pick it on, baby. So I'm sure there's a bunch
of illegal.
There's a bunch of nerds out there already hacking that stuff.
Everything. You're gonna put your garbage in my machine, and you're gonna get loaded.
So you're gonna it's gonna get compost distiller, is what
yes,
you're saying.
Yes, deal.
That's actually because you can anything organic you can distill.
Oh, it's
you
absolutely
can distill
organic.
Wood for Christ's sake.
It's completely organic, guys.
Quit looking at the microphone.
Totally organic. I like looking at a microphone and seeing organic.
You're probably making love to it.
With his eyes, just with his eyes. It's
okay. No, but you actually that is a great idea because. Anything organic can be made into
alcohol. Absolutely.
Because during the desperate times.
Well, it depends what type of alcohol.
In Russia, you can make it
ethanol,
out of. You can
methanol.
Use wood.
Yeah, basically, too.
You can make,
yes, you
can make booze
you can
out
also,
of wood.
Yeah,
which is incredible.
Make
I'm
methanol,
sure it's horrible. But,
no, that's what blinds you. That's the danger.
Speaking of that, another story that I wanted to talk about was in India. Sad. More than 100 people died after drinking toxic alcohol in West Bengal.
Well, that's
because we know why.
And
right?
It's because they mixed it with wood alcohol,
right?
It's methanol. Right. You know,
yeah,
the
methanol.
Thing is, though, here.
And
but why did
before,
this happen?
This
further,
is, hold on.
Before
this,
we go any further, though,
this is a selling point.
This is the reason why it happened is because taxes in India on alcohol make alcohol. So far beyond, it's 80% of the population can afford the alcohol.
Right. So what are they going to do?
So there's bootleggers all over the place. And,
exactly.
You know, it is basically prohibition in America where you had bathtub gin that might blind someone because
right.
There's an unscrupulous person or they don't know what they're doing. I mean, also, if you're distilling and you heat it up past a certain point, you end up not getting straight up. Ethanol, you get methanol.
Well, think about this,
and the tails and the heads and
right,
you know,
exactly.
I mean, there's,
oh no, if you're using the right materials, you will not get methanol.
I mean, come on, think about it. If in America the cheapest bottle of vodka, $7.50 of vodka was $100, there would be a huge underground freaking moonshining operation going on.
Prohibition kills people.
This happened in Russia. Putin just slashed the state vodka prices because. their local version of moonshine was making so many steps up on the state produced vodka. They actually said, okay, we're going to lower the prices because there's so much of this poisonous alcohol out there. They have to do it.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why Prohibition killed a bunch of people as well.
Exactly. But here we go. Your public service announcement for everybody that's in a terrible country where people are making their own liquor. And it's not necessarily safe. Some people are making wood alcohol. Some people are making, a proper ethanol. The cure for methanol poisoning, and I'm looking at the microphone again.
You're pointing at the microphone.
Yes,
I am,
because I have to.
Listen here, Mr. Microphone, sir.
Is ethanol. So if you've drank something and you're starting to lose your vision, blah, 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 drink ethanol, your liver will immediately start converting that and stop converting the methanol. So drink as much ethanol as possible if you start going blind.
There you go. That's some great advice. Okay,
that's true. The more you know.
All right, let's wrap this up. I think we've gone over a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But no, don't be sorry at all. It's been great having you, Adam, with us. We've got to finish these drinks up before we get out of here.
Good night.
I'm Nick Plummer.
I am Frank Kelly Rich.
I'm Commander Adama.
He is Commander
Adama.
Not the new Commander Adama.
The old one. I know.
The old one with the big medallion.
I mean, sorry.
Yeah. Big difference.
We grew up on that. And we'd like to thank Gus and Nate.
Cherry Sound Studios.
And this has
especially
been
especially for letting me spill
Codpass podcast.
All right. Hopefully, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Chin, guys. Hey. Let's finish these up. And good night.
Mm.
And I think we're done.
Can we use Guns and Booze by?
We're at the 20 minutes.
I'm sorry.